We're close to and coming into Thanksgiving. And I know we're thankful every day, aren't we, of the things that God has bestowed upon us. You know, first and foremost, salvation. Thank you, Lord, for that. And for other things that he comes along with that. It's kind of like it's a great package deal, right? You know, if you were trying to sell somebody some kind of a material item and all, you would say, well, this is what we offer with it. But, you know, if you take this, we'll throw this in and this in and this in. And you're like, wow, that's a great deal. I'll take it now, you know. But think of that as our salvation. Think of how just receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and coming to him in that understanding and surrendering my life. I don't know why. I was going to say, a lot of people don't want to do that. I think it's not going to remember as part of my message because we kind of gave a salvation message there at the memorial. But all these things that they did, that he's done, that we find that we don't want to take advantage of those things. As an example, with my mother-in-law, you know, I said, now imagine this. I said, I envisioned when I heard that my mother-in-law had gone on to be in heaven. I said, I imagine God there opening up like a resume or a paper. And I said, and explained, you know, well, we all know what a resume is and what it's about. And I said, and I just believed God was standing there, and when Mary approached him, he said, so, I see you pastored along with your husband my church. I see that you led music and music ministry in my church. You worked in the office and served in greeting in my church. Different things that she has done throughout her long life in the things of the kingdom of God. And could you imagine God doing the same thing for us as we have served him faithfully and doing these things that he's allowed us to do, that he would look at it and say, and I said, at the end of all of this, I would have heard him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because that's what she was, as far as, remember I talked about prayer and all that, how strong she was in prayer. But that's for all of us as we live this life. And it begins by that of receiving him, first of all, as our Lord and Savior. And saying, I confess my need for you. I confess I'm a sinner. And now, Lord, I ask for your blood to cleanse me. And Lord, come in and fill me and bring the Holy Spirit in. And you know, we just begin to do that whole changing of our lives. And that's something to really be thankful for, because where would we be without it? You know, we would be out there where many people are. And it's going to be our responsibility as God leads us and directs us, of course, to be that light. We've shared on that, and to be actively involved and just building relationships in and where you can, you know, whether it's through the food pantry, and then many a times that, you know, I know Janice and Lou, you know, and I think it was you, Janice, that said for the last several months, she seems to always get the same people, you know, from one month to the next. And that's pretty interesting because, you know, it's just they come in but I think it's that thing that God might be orchestrating to have that relationship built up, because they feel more apt to talk to you more. They feel more apt to share a little bit more with you. And you get to feel more at ease with them, and you really begin to talk to them as a friend. Not as a counselor, but as a friend. We have women and groups come, and when Milton, and if Lou's not here, what's wrong with Lou? Where's Lou at? You know? Where's Janice? Where's that lady that sits over there? You know, and we miss, because people, they have developed that relationship with us. You'd raise your hand for something? Yeah. Yeah, the Milton. I'd do the same thing, because it's like four or five of those ladies all at one time. Just go. Go to Lou. He'll talk to you. Yeah, there's a blessed. And matter of fact, you said that here. Here, this is. Just take a couple of these. There's one for each of you. And Lou, that just you've got one. Okay, here's a couple of cards here. There's that. And have one of those there for you. All righty, here's that. There's a couple of there for you. I've got two. There you go, Willie. There you go. Just for a couple things there for you. Got a lot more. These ladies, matter of fact, and this is kind of brought that up, that's a good segue, they call it, huh? The Card Makers, Homestead Apartments in Milton. Happy Thanksgiving. And they put little sayings in there. They bring a bag of these things in, more than we really need. But this group of ladies out there, they get together, and it's a wonderful opportunity for them to build relationships. They give these, and they do things for the veterans. They'll take a box of these things up to the Veterans Administration or VA up in Madison to give out to the vets. They'll do it, I think, here in town. They do it at different places, nursing homes and things like that, hospitals. And that's really kind of a ministry, you know. And they just put the Card Makers. And it's amazing the amount of stock and the stuff that they use for all this paraphernalia of Card Makers. But they have done that for several, quite a few years now. They bring these for us. And she just, Gwen, you know, she's like the overseer of it, Gwendolyn. And that's just amazing. And that's just a blessing. And they said, put these in the bags and give them to the congregation. And I know on Father's Day they brought stuff for the guys in the pantry and all. So, but, you know, that's kind of letting that light shine. It's just kind of building that relationship, letting somebody know that they're thinking about them in a card, and it gives that fellowship time for them to put things together. But yeah, when they come into pantry and building the relations, and there's probably been some good prayers said by both of Lou and Janice, and seeing some results of those prayers as well. And so, you know, Thanksgiving for that. I thank the Lord that He gives us that opportunity to do that in. So we look at the Thanksgiving in Psalms. It says this in Psalms 104, enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. You know, we come into that and we've got to, I think that's telling us you've got to make that effort. Amen? If you're going to go somewhere, you've got to get up and go. If I'm going to enter, or if I'm going to go to His gates with Thanksgiving, I have got to enter into that realm. I've got to enter His gates, and I've got to be there and thanking Him and praising Him and just continue to honor and worship Him for what He has done. So, what am I thankful for? What are you thankful for? First Chronicles says, oh, give thanks. First Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness endures forever. There it is. His loving kindness endures forever. We are in, and it's always been, a somewhat throwaway society, and it's really gotten really thrown away now. I mean, back in the days, as we were sharing with things of my mother-in-law, of little stories and things, and her husband as well, and we talked about how they were the first recyclers. And you find people of that age, people of, you know, when they're up in that 80s, and mid-80s, whatever in that age group, and depending upon their upbringing, they would save everything or find a use for everything. There was made mention that, you know, it's like the one Pastor Hal had said, like, well, I went in there one time and they had like a bag full of like little bread ties and stuff that they always save. How many have had a parent, or even you do it, don't raise your hand, but you'd save those bread ties and stuff, you know? And it's like they would do that, you know? Just little things that you would always find. It's like, my goodness, why do you need that? But lo and behold, there's always a time that they would use it. They would find a reason and... Yeah. Huh? I turned it off and I haven't been. Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. Have I been off all this time? Really? Maybe it's the Spirit saying, just shut up, Tim. Maybe it's my mother-in-law. Okay, Tim, that's enough sharing about me. Oh, Mom, I love you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness endures forever. And what a thing to have, loving kindness that endures forever. We see these things happening in our life and how we all take are recipients of that because of that enduring love that he has for us. And it's always going to be there. We think about his righteous judgment in Psalm 75:1. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare that your name is near. Just look at the works of God's hand. Amen. So many things out there. We've talked about this before, and you're singing to the choir or speaking to the choir, that we can walk outside, even from the front of our church, and start looking around and see the hand of God and all that he's done. And all the things that continue to change and get ready for that next season. Are we ending one season and going to the next? And how everything is on a timetable, right? We know that by the seasons that we are in, what is about to come or what we're just leaving and what's coming next. Well, you know, as we look at that, and that comes, Ecclesiastes talks about, you know, there's a time and a season for everything. You know, a time to live and a time to die, a time to grow, a time to harvest, plant, all these things. And so our lives are like that. There's a season in your life that you're doing something for him. You should be doing something for the kingdom. And I encourage us all to find that place if you don't have it and be productive in it and be active in it and keep working and serving the Lord. And that's an area of being able to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for just think of the responsibility sometimes he puts on us because he knows who you are. And he's looking for someone to do that. And he looks and he sees across the body of Christ. And just like for my mother-in-law, you did this in my church. I want to hear that. Lord, when I get there, that he would be saying, Tim, you were part of this. And Tim, not that it boasts me up and makes me, oh, look who I am. But it's that, Lord, I just want to honor you. I want to praise you. I want people to see you in us. Amen. How else will they see the hand of God if it's not through us, if it's not through his creation, we know by looking, but if it's not through us that we've been created in his image and we're out there serving and people are seeing that. But anyway, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare that your name is near. We have a lot to be thankful for his protection. Has God protected anybody here? Has protected me, I know, several times. Psalms 56:12 to 13. God, I will keep the special promises I've made to you. I will give you my thank offering. You saved me from death. You kept me from being defeated. So I will serve you in the light that only the living can see. How many times have we become close to being defeated? You know, how many times has our job almost defeated us? How many times has sometimes our kids almost defeated us? You know, situations in life almost defeat you. You get to that level of point of time to where it's like, there's got to be a change. Has anybody ever been to that point where, God, there's got to be a change coming? I can't go on like this any longer. I can't endure this. I can't put up with this. I need help. And that's where God comes in. That's where we see his mercy, we see his grace, you know, that enduring love, that endurance that he has to be there for us. You know, we wake up every day and we say, well, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Father, for the strength to get up. Thank you, Father, for this food. Thank you, Father, for good health, you know. Thank you for the lights and the heat in our houses and apartments and places where we live. You know, it's a day in and day out of what? Living in thankfulness. Because I tell you what, without it, it would be very rough. Amen. And there's some people out there that are having it very, very rough. And it's for one reason or another. But I think a lot of it is if they would just turn their life over to God and allow his blessings to come upon them, allow his help to be there for them, then they would really, truly have something to be thankful for. But it's hard sometimes, you know, even sometimes dealing with the people through pantries and things of that nature that are having a bad time of a situation in their life. You know, we'd call it like bad luck, they would say it, you know. But, you know, there are just things that are happening. And it's how do you keep them or how do you get them encouraged? You know, it's one thing to give them food and all that, but how do you encourage them? How do you build that into them to say, hey, there's more to this than just this, you know, physical food we want to give you. You know, there's helps here. There's helps through that of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And he can be there for you and be there to help you. And it's trying to get people out there that aren't thankful to be thankful. Now, I've had times where I've counseled people and I've asked them if there's something we could pray with or about. And many times I've had them where they said, I just want to be thankful that I've just, you know, I've got good health. Or, you know, I just thank him. Or they'll want to pray for somebody else. You know, I've had some that'll say, well, let's pray for our veterans. Well, let's pray for this or that situation. And so that's kind of neat because their eye is not upon themselves. Because there are some that, you know, we can all be kind of needy at times and say, pray for me, you know. But it's those others out there that are really needing that. And I think I get a touch in my heart when it's like, what can I pray with you about? Well, really everything's fine, but I like to pray for first responders. I like to pray for the military, whatever the case is. And we lift up that prayer. But God's protection is an area for salvation in Romans 7:24-25. Wretched and miserable man that I am, who will rescue me and set me free from this body of death, this corrupt mortal existence? Thanks be to God for my deliverance through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind serve the law of God, but on the other, my flesh, my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity, I serve the law of sin. You know, we could be the wretched men, you know, men/women out there. It's a continuation of where we're at. Now, I know that being filled with the Holy Spirit, one time I had shared this because, you know, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a time in my life, and at times maybe you as well, you would feel like you're in a boxing match. It feels like, you know, my spirit side wants to do this, my flesh side wants to do that. And I know this is not the best, and this should be what I want. And has anybody been there to where you're kind of like at that constant back and forth? It's like, no, I don't want that. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to say that. Whatever the case might be. I don't want to be a part of that conversation. You know, I want to change my attitude about that. It's not what God would want. I want to get over here and be pleasing to him. And we have that constant back and forth, back and forth. And hopefully as we develop stronger faith muscles, you know, as we allow the Spirit of God to have more of us, that the spirit side of God wins out. Amen? That we can get to that level to say, okay, the thought comes in, but I can put it aside and say, get out. Rather than it comes in, and then I act upon it, then I do things, or I say things, or I do what I shouldn't be doing, and then I've got to go to the whole level of repentance, and oh, God, I'm sorry. And then we get all back to that level of, here we go again. And thank God for his grace and his mercy, because he gives us that to where we can come back to him. But that's that area of being thankful. I'm thankful that my God is full of grace and mercy. And it's not that I can abuse it and use it and know how far to go, and then I said, okay, I'm going to get back in your good graces. It's that level that I want to be all that he wants me to be. I want to serve him. I want to honor him. I want to serve the people around me that he's put us over or a part of or in their lives. You know, he's put you in the lives of people, hasn't he? And you're serving them and you're being an example to them. We shared a little bit in Sunday school just about some things of salvation and our walk with Christ. And what has that done? What has happened in your life once you received Christ and within your family? There's usually not a lot of people say, I received Christ, and I was born again, I went back home, and my entire family welcomed me in with arms wide open. That generally doesn't happen, unless you are blessed to the max, to where your family is all saved. But if you've got partial saved, partial maybe not saved, they don't know for sure, and this was way out, you go back in with salvation and say what God is doing for you and done for you. They don't want you in there. They think you're crazy. They, whatever the case is, and we kind of shared a little bit around the table this morning of people saying how they were responded to in their family. And it was interesting that a lot of times that as you walk into a situation like that, it's those that are outside the realm of Christian or following Christ or whatever, they're more apt to say, I don't want to be around you, than us to say, okay, I'm here, this is family, you know. We're talking about the drinking or smoking or whatever the case might be on those areas. It's like, you know, it's not going to affect my relationship with you just because you drink. You're still my brother. You're still, you know, a cousin or whatever the case is, you know. But for some reason, they really get that. And I think it's that level of spiritual, and I'm not saying these people are possessed, and it's like, you know, in some of the instances of Jesus when he would come into an area or come into a room or come into a group, and all of a sudden you'd have find somebody that was possessed and the demonic was in them. The first ones that recognized who Jesus was those that were what? Possessed. Those that had that devil within them, that spirit within them, because they'd always say, "What are you doing here? Get out of here, Jesus. Don't cast us out," you know. So it's that spiritual battle of things back and forth. So, yeah, my family members are not possessed or anything like that, demonic. But I find some examples in God's Word that were, you know, I think as we are the light, as Christ lives in us, you walk into a room, could be coworkers, it could be family, it could be wherever, could be your job, I don't know. There's a difference. There's something that goes there. We've talked about this before, about there's the presence of God. Are you here filled with the Holy Spirit? If you're here with the Holy Spirit, wherever you go, there's something about you that's different. Another thing that was brought up in Sunday school, and I learned this from this pastor this week. He had shared just briefly, and the whole story goes like this. He had a gentleman that he was quite familiar with and kind of knew growing up. Went back to see his mom, the pastor did. He was ill and about ready to pass in some weeks or months. This gentleman was doing a lot of good service there in the hospital. You just take volunteer time and visit people that were sick and ill. Spend about 3 or 4 hours there a couple of times a week. And so this pastor says, "Wow," called him by whatever his name was, "that is great. That's a, you know, like a Christian thing to do," or, "Wow, God is, you know, all this type of stuff and salvation and blah, blah, blah." And this guy said, "Well, I've never received Christ as my Lord and Savior." And this pastor goes, "What?" And he goes on to say, "But you did, you know," and he named multiple things that this guy did in the churches. Board, elder, deacon, taught Sunday school and all that. And this guy said, "But nobody ever asked me if I had Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." And this pastor did. He said, "Isn't it good to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" or something like that. And that's how that conversation came up. It's like, "Well, I don't have him. I never said that prayer." He goes, "How in the world did all these years," and this is like many years that you serve in different offices and areas and ministries of a church, and this guy said, "Nobody ever asked if I'd received Christ. They just put me in these positions." This guy was a servant. He just wanted to help. "I'll do this, I'll do that," you know. And so we get misled by even those that are in a church. You know, if we had even more people here, how do we really know that everybody has Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? How would we really know that people have received that? How would we know that they are filled with the Holy Spirit? Because you go to a church setting, and you might have 50 people, 100 people. Think of those churches that have thousands of people there. Just think of the various degrees of levels of where they're at and that spiritual development. And hopefully they're all growing and getting that way, but it's going to be astounding, I think, at times to where you come to find out, it's like, "Well, I never said the sinner's prayer. Nobody ever asked me." It's like, "Oh my goodness." You know, we have, as a church, we as pastors, we're all ministers of the word as I look at you guys out there. Wow, what have we missed not to at least conversate with that person and say, "Has Christ been a part of your life if you received him as your Lord and Savior?" Well, somebody says, "Well, no, not that." "Well, do you know how easy it is? You want to do it?" "Well, yeah." You know, that we pass through that and we glean over those things because we just assume, amen? They're doing a wonderful service in the church. They're part of every kind of ministry. They're out there. They're doing this. They're doing that. And yet, had not receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior, they would have gotten to heaven. And what would have happened? "But, Lord, I did this. I served there. I served that." You know? And even those that do those things, he'll say, "I know you not." You know? Because you don't have that personal relationship. You didn't follow the very, very foundational thing of what this is about. So we have blessings and we have things to be thankful for. And all of us that sit here today, I'm sure and hopefully, if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, raise your hand. Because I want to have a clean conscience when I walk out of here today that I, as an errant pastor, didn't formulate that to say, I want to definitely know that. Because if you don't have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you've got to take that step and you've got to find that time. Now, when that pastor shared that with him about being, you know, born again and the salvation, the guy at that time didn't say, "I want to do it now." He said it wasn't until probably many months later, probably 6 or 8 months later, he said, it wasn't until some kind of communication, or it might have been when he went to his mother's funeral, that this all came about that, "Hey, I said the sinner's prayer about 6 months after we talked." you know, and received Christ. So it's not to say that it happens instantly. It's not we're going to stand on their chest or grab them by the throat and say the sinner's prayer before I leave. You know, I want you right with God. And I want my... No, we are just to be responsible to share and allow the Spirit to continue to move upon that person to be able to say... And it's like, you know, you can say the sinner's prayer by yourself in the closet, in the car, driving, at a train stop, at a stoplight, whatever. But it's to give that information out. And we've got to give that information out. Amen? Salvation is one of the most wonderful things that we're thankful for. You know, our daily provisions. Has God blessed you daily? He provides, doesn't He? We find that in His provisions in Matthew, when He commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes, looking up to heaven, blesses it, breaks it, gives the loaves to the disciples, and they give it out to the multitudes. It was kind of like an unending buffet. And here they started out with nothing. His disciples said, oh no, they're getting hungry. Send them away. Send them into the city. Get them out of here. And we know the story and what took place. Not only did everyone get their fill, they had leftovers. Amen. That's daily provision of God. God is more than just enough. He's more than that, you know. And I've seen that in my life. Have you seen that in your life, to where God has done things in provisional ways, whatever it might be, that it's like more than what I was looking for, more than I really needed? There's that superabundance of God. As we are faithful, as we are obedient, as we are honoring and trusting to Him, just look out, because He will bless your socks off. Amen. Has your socks been blessed off? You know, it's just because He is that type of God. Then in Matthew 6:31, it says this: therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy. Man, distracted. Oh my gosh, perpetually uneasy. Perpetual is ongoing. It just always goes, perpetual. And there's a lot of that taking place, for sure. Saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For the pagan Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows you need them. Isn't that great to know that our Father in heaven knows what we need? Isn't that interesting that we think we've got to tell Him like He doesn't already know? And I know He says, come and ask and all these things, and we want to let that prayer go up and intercede and pray for these things. But He knows our needs. In Philippians, it says God will liberally fill until full, liberally supply your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We have the area of thanksgiving for hope and love. We give thanks in Colossians 1:3-5, and Amplified says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we pray always for you, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, how you lean on Him with absolute confidence in His power. Amplified, I like that. Are you leaning on Him with absolute confidence of His power? If not, we need to be. Of His wisdom and His goodness, and of the unselfish love which you have for all the saints, God's people, because of the confident hope of experience in that which is reserved and waiting for you in heaven. You've previously heard of this hope in the message of truth, that the gospel regarding salvation. 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 The start of it all. It goes on talking about for healing, and Matthew talks in Matthew 9, behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years, and John 9, as he passed by, saw a blind man. And Matthew 7, he talks about it, and it will be given to you, seek, and you will find, knock, and it will be opened to you. It's been encouraging, and it's always good sometimes just to go back through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John in different places, and just reread the times that Jesus touched the people that needed to be touched. There's places there that says that He went in and everyone was what? Healed. And then there's other places that say He went in and not everybody was healed. There was places that even towns wouldn't receive Him, and He would leave and go on. But we find these things that God will touch us, and to reread these stories, to reread the things that Jesus did, it gives us that, again, the ability to be thankful. As you sit here today, has He healed you of some things? You know, is He continuing to work within you? Is He continuing to strengthen you? Continuing to meet your needs? You know, has He continually been there to fulfill financial helps or a job or our resources or rebuke the devourer or all these things that we look at. And then we get to this, like, well, how do we thank him? Remember, we talked about enter his courts with praise. But we do it by singing. We do it by praying. You even thank him by giving an offering. And you speak about Jesus. You know, what better way to thank somebody than speaking highly of them? Amen? Have you ever felt or had a personal or a close relationship with somebody in your life, whoever it might be, and you'd always enjoy to share about them to somebody else? It could have been about your dad or your mom or a boss, whoever. But they impacted your life so much that you shared about them to somebody else. And you say, this person really meant a lot to me. They were there when I needed it. They took care of this when I was down, or they gave me the helps when I needed this. This person was really, really there for me. Well, Jesus is there for that as well. Being able to live holy lives. So there's a lot of things to be thankful for. Amen. As we sit here today, you know, some of the very basic things of a roof over our head and jackets to wear when it's cold. But it gets even much more deeper than that. I'm thankful for how God is there for my family, how he protects them. You know, as I had shared at the beginning, how my mother-in-law had said the sinner's prayer with my daughter. Because she was willing to ask, how do I get to heaven? You know, have you had people come to you and ask you, how do I get to heaven? And I pretty well know you guys would probably be able to respond in the right way. Well, it's really easy, but you just need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Become that new creation. Throughout our times in our family, when a new one's come into your family through that of marriage, how thankful we are. I went to a 50th wedding anniversary for one of my daughter's in-laws yesterday. And 50 years marriage. Wow, isn't that great? My mother and father-in-law were like up in the 65 years of marriage, you know. Finding that endurance, finding that longevity, you know. Wow. But I'm blessed. I was talking to her mother-in-law, and Gail, and I said, you know, I said, we, Dean and me, are blessed with our kids' in-laws and the men or the women that they've married, you know. I said, God has just been so good. And I said, whether it's you guys, whether it's, you know, Micah's mother and father-in-law, or whether it's TJ and Beth's or TJ's mother and father-in-law, I said, we really, because, you know, there are some contentious things out there sometimes in in-laws, you know. And we don't have that. We get along and can have a great relationship with them. But I believe that's the blessings of God. You know, as we get together, I was telling somebody, talking yesterday about that with her, saying, you know, what do you want? What do you get? You know, Christmas is coming. What can I get you? What do you want? I don't need anything. And I said, you know, like Thanksgiving's coming up, and I said, we'll get together, and I'll be looking around the room or Christmas, and I see my kids, I see their spouse, I see their kids, my grandkids. And I said, all I can do is sit there and just by myself, just survey the room and say, wow, Lord, I am blessed and I am rich. You know, I don't have a gazillion dollars in the bank, but I wouldn't want a gazillion dollars in the bank and give up what I've got with my family and my kids and my grandkids. Because they're the things, as we always say, and I shared this at the memorial celebration service, the legacy that we live or leave behind. What is that legacy that you're leaving behind? We always leave something here. And through my mother-in-law, through her kids and her grandkids, and all the times that they were seeing her and her husband, Al, and they were always together in service to the nursing homes and service to the people and music and all of these things. But they have a little bit of that within their kids and upon their grandkids. It was so wonderful to hear how grandkids would get up and share about grandma and grandpa. And I remember this, and I remember that, and they did this. And it was those special times that they had just with them. But it's like, it's a blessing. It's a legacy. So what are we leaving behind when we get ready to leave here, you know? And I think as we go through this life, as we're serving Him, as we're honoring Him, being thankful day in and day out for all that He's given us and doing for us, He's going to continue to be that blessing God. And don't take it for granted, amen. You got to continue to be looking and serving and actively serving Him as well, for sure. As we wrap up here, we find that sometimes as holidays come, that gets to be a very contentious time for families. There's not always goodwill out there, and it's a struggle. And then there's also times where people are by themselves during times of the holidays, and that seems to really be amplified on Thanksgiving and Christmas, that, you know, the families are not there, or they don't have family, and they're there by themselves. And praise God for ministries like Salvation Army and Echo and different ones out there that have, you know, these meal times to where people can come. A lot of them are not necessarily needing it because they're limited on finances. They're limited on relationship of having nobody around them. And they just want to be, don't you like to be in a crowd of people? Well, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I like to be very quiet and by myself. But you really kind of like gravitate towards a group of people, especially during the holidays. So anyway, this is going to be an interesting time of the year again. It always is. Thank you, Father. Father, as we thank you for so much. Lord, we have a day coming up here this week that is classified as Thanksgiving, Lord. And Lord, we are thankful day in and day out as we live this life, knowing that you are so much a part of it and how you care for us. I pray, Lord, that we are able to be an example to some of those around us. And Father, whatever we have that they would be looking at, that they would want some of that as well, and we would be able to share your love and your blessings with them. Father, you have been a wonderful God. I know for myself and for my family. And as one said this morning in Sunday school, you know, they've served and have known you since the age of 14, but there's still been problems and struggles throughout their life, but they still serve you and they still are connected to you. What a testimony that is, Lord. We thank you, Father, that yes, when those trials and those struggles come up, that we can have you to lean on, that we have you to turn it over to, and that you're there for us. I pray for those that are here today. I pray for Terry as she continues to heal from oral surgery. I pray for Rick that you would continue to give him strength and renew his body from the surgery this past week. Father, we just lift up different ones, Lord, that aren't here. And you know where they're at and the situations at hand. And we just ask you to bless them and to encourage them, Father. I pray that you would encourage us here today as a body. Thank you, Father.